research. First, I'd like to thank Urbanite for giving me this wonderful opportunity to give a talk about orographic entanglement. And so since we have a lot of excellent research from many areas, so I'd like to first give some overview of orographic entanglement. Since already we had a discussion by Sensei and Toda, and so I think I'd like to maybe focus on recent development, sometimes by our work, sometimes many other people's work. I'd like to mention interesting development in this 1 or 2 years. And then I'd like to move on to my current work, ongoing work. First one is about some holographic entanglement entropy to probe some Fermi surfaces. I would like to give some preliminary results, which is publishing soon. And also, I'd like to give a connection between this holographic entanglement entropy and the holographic dual of boundary conformal fusory. So this is a BCFC boundary conformal fusory, and we have some degree of freedom at the boundary. This is nicely characterized by looking at this holographic entanglement. These are based on my recent published works. So let me, with the introduction, this is rather a big motivation that mainly I'm talking from the viewpoint of quantum gravity or string theory. So holography, the best example of the ADS-CFT, is a non-perturbative definition of the quantum gravity. So we have a bulk geometry in my convention D+2, and but the boundary is one dimensionless, so D+1 dimension. So D is a space dimension in the boundary theory, and 1 is time direction. So this, so in condensed matter applications, so we can regard this as a condensed matter system, and my convention D+2 in the bulk. And the basic relation called bulk to boundary relation claims that some partial function of quantum gravity or string theory on this bulk manifold is actually equivalent to partial function on this boundary. So this is a basic relation, and this is very interesting from the from the viewpoint of quantum field theory, strongly coupled quantum field theory, and also from the viewpoint of quantum gravity. And to understand the holography better, and in, also in some basic from basic viewpoints, also some application viewpoint, and also explore the holography in rather general setup, even sometimes even go beyond area space, such as Bochita space or class space, which is still, we don't know much about it. But then we need some suitable, some useful universal quantities, universal physical quantities. So that if we look at that very nice example of stationary black holes, then black hole is characterized by mass and charge and spin. This is some Noether theorem. And these are nice quantity also from the viewpoint of thermodynamics. So there are one-to-one correspondence between thermodynamics and some condensed matter systems and some classical system in gravity, and they have nice correspondence. But if we go beyond this simplest system, then if you look at some general space-time, often it is time-dependent, then we need to look at some more, much more quantities so that we can extract much more information. So sometimes it becomes non-equilibrium, it's time-dependent, also sometimes we may have to pick up some topological information from gravity side, and many possibilities. But for this purpose, so in my opinion, the entanglement entropy, I just call EE in short, and it's a very useful quantity. And at the same time, in my understanding, in condensed matter physics, entanglement entropy also plays a very important role to characterize ground state, very complicated quantum structure of ground state, sometimes capture topological information, and so on. So in that sense, my basic motivation is somehow closely related, very roughly speaking. So before I go to the analysis of the entanglement entropy, I just give some brief introduction of entanglement entropy. I think most of the audience are familiar with that, but I just let me give some very elementary definition of entanglement entropy. So first, we consider some quantum many-body systems, and some we have total Hilbert space, and we divide this into two parts, HA and HB, it's a subsystem, and it's a direct product. If we imagine the simplest case of spin chain, so we have many spins, then we just artificially cut it at some point, then we have some subsystem A and B, and Fabian space is factorized. And then we can define the reduced density matrix so that we have a total density matrix restricted to this region, this B, subsystem B, and we have some reduced, so less information, so that we have some reduced density matrix. And by using this reduced density matrix, we can define so-called entanglement entropy just by following the well-known definition for normal entropy, which is a minus trace role of rho. Now we use this rho A, this reduced density matrix, to define this entropy. But this choice of subsystem A is arbitrary. So in quantum field theory, we have some, we take some time slice. This is a time direction, and this is a space projection. So this is a space manifold, and we just arbitrarily cut it into two parts, A and B. And to define this A, we just need to specify the boundary of A. So this boundary of A is very, plays a very important role. But anyway, we have infinitely many different kinds of entropy, and this is much includes much more information compared with just standard thermal entropy. So there are various applications of this quantity in many subjects. And first of all, it plays a very important quantity in quantum information theory, as we know. So this entanglement entropy is some quantum version of Shannon information entropy, so it's amounts of quantum information. Also, so I'm not expert in condensed matter physics. In my understanding, this entanglement entropy is sort of quantum order parameter. One understanding is quantum order parameter, or a more practical calculation of this, some simulation by using computers. Then entanglement entropy roughly estimates the efficiency of this computer calculations. So especially this happens in DMRG, density matrix normalization group. And this means that if the entanglement entropy is very large, it's quite difficult to do this simulation or just density matrix. We approximate density matrix in the finite size matrices, but it's quite difficult. So that means that is consistent with the fact that if we compute this entropy in some interesting quantum systems and at a quantum critical point, for example, in just some quantum Ising model with some external magnetic fields, at some quantum critical point, it gets divergent. So this is somehow cross-related. And in other words, we can detect some quantum phase transition by looking entanglement entropy. So, and also it plays a very important role. So we had in several talks this about this topological entanglement entropy, which carries this interesting topological information. So the basic property of this entanglement entropy is called area law. So if we look at entanglement entropy D plus one, this is my convention, D plus one dimensional quantum field theory, and look at ground state, and this typically includes UV divergence because in quantum field theory, just simply we had a lot of infinitely many degrees of freedom, and its divergence is characterized by this area law. This is found by Bomberi and collaborators and Sredoniki, and more than 20 years ago. So we have so the area law tells us that the leading divergent piece, so its divergence appears this order. Epsilon is a cutoff. Epsilon is very small. It's sort of lattice spacing. It's very small. And its power is inverse of d minus 1. So that this is a typical leading divergent part. And its coefficient is proportional to the area of the boundary. And we have also some leading terms. Well, actually, holographic calculation is useful to calculate this kind of term also. So this epsilon is a UV cutoff. And it's proportional to lattice constant. And I have one comment. This holographic, so I will explain holographic calculation. But this holographic calculation predicts that this area law is actually true, always true for any quantum field theory if we have some UV fixed point. If in the UV it becomes conformal, then this should be always true. But other cases, we are not sure.
So does that mean that if any theory in UV has a z equal 1?
Z equal, yeah, sorry, I'm talking, sorry, the relativistic theory, z equal 1. Yeah. Well, no, relativistic is equal 1. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right, but that's a decision, so yeah, you are right. Yeah. 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 So, and maybe I can just comment that this formula is historically this formula is very interesting. It's some similarity to Bekenstein-Hawking formula, but this is a finite. This is divergent. But people worked out, many people, including Susskind and Ugrum, and worked out that this UV divergent part is interpreted as some one loop correction or loop correction to this black hole. Entropy. But this leading term is not so much clear. And somehow holography helps us to understand this just finite piece of black hole entropy in terms of entanglement entropy. That is a coming issue. So I'd like to go to the overview of holographic entanglement entropy. I think Shinsei already She said, well, you explain how to compute on basic issue of this holographic entanglement. And I going in a rather brief way. So we have so the holographic calculation is very simple. So we have ADS set up, and we divide conformal field theory into two parts, A and B. We omit time later. So space direction is divided this way. And this boundary plays a very important role. And we extend this boundary towards the bulk. So this surface is D dimension in ADS D plus 2. This is always codimension to surface. It's always true to measure entropy. Even for the standard black hole entropy, it's codimension to surface. So this is a surface. And but we have infinitely many such choices. And we pick up minimum area surface, which I call gamma A. So this is a, you can slightly change it this way, but we pick up minimal area. Huh? And that is a non-trivial surface in general in asymptotic ADS background. In flat space, it's just this coincides with this family. But it's in ADS, we have work factor, it becomes non-trivial. So this gamma A is a minimal area surface, but with some conditions. So of course, this surface end at this boundary of A. Another condition, this topological condition, is that this A, subsystem A, is homologous, not actually homotopy, it's homologous to this surface, topologically smoothly connected. So, and we can find such a surface, and we search many such surfaces and pick up minimal area one. So this is this formula tells us. So, and divided by Poisson, this is always true for even in black hole entropy. And one more comment about ADS safety, I think we already probably heard from other excellent talks. And there is, we need some some cutoff. So this is a ADS metric looks like this. This is called Poincaré metric. And we have factor 1 over z square. Z is this extra dimension. And this boundary where we have conformal field theory. And this metric divergent at z equals 0. So we need to put some cutoff of z. Restrict z is larger than some small number epsilon. And this epsilon is just corresponds to the UV cutoff, which I explained in the context of area law. So this is a well-known fact in ADS safety. So now I'd like to come to the status of this formula. So there, even though there are heuristic arguments suggest some derivation of this area law from just standard general relativity, but there are some many loopholes on this argument. It's done by Farsai and pointed by Matt Hedrick. And there are some loopholes. And so far, unfortunately, there are no complete proof of this formula. But unfortunately, there are many supporting evidences and no counterexamples. So I listed some partial list of these non-trivial evidences. So the area law, which I explained here, is just followed very simply because there is an infinite work factor here. So every main contribution comes from this region. So it's proportional to the area of this boundary. Eh? So area law, and if we compute its scale, it's agree with the what we call area law in quantum field theory. And also agreements. In ADS3 case, it's dual to two-dimensional conformation. We have a lot of results, especially worked out by Carl Brez and Cardi, and we can have a nice agreement and no contradiction. And there's a very formal but very important property called strong subrelativity. This can be easily holographically understood. And I will come to this issue and also some recent updates on this. And also, of course, Matt Hedrick worked out this consistency of this holographic formula when there is some disconnected subsystems. Subsystem A is now disconnected into two parts. Then there are non-trivial phase transition when we change the size of this disconnected subsystem. And that turns out to be consistent with two-dimensional conformal field theory calculation done by these people. And also, if we want to consider some explicit quantity, which we can compare directly between CFT and ADS side, it is some coefficient of logarithmic divergent part of this entanglement entropy. So this log term is somehow related to anomalous effect, and it is proportional to the conformal anomaly. In four-dimensional CFT, there are two conformal anomalies called A and C, and it's a linear combination of that. This seems to agree with both sides, and worked out many people. And recently, Myers and collaborators worked very seriously and find nice agreement. Also, this Myers and collaborators, Cassini, Myers, showed some direct proof when, of this formula, especially when this subsystem A is really spherical, a round sphere, which is most symmetric sphere. But other cases, still not completely shown. And finally, there is a nice holographic proof of this inequality called Cadoni-Linden inter-inequality. Inter-inequality. I will come back to this issue later. So before I go to this, I just want to mention this simple proof of this strong subadditivity. So strong subadditivity summarizes these two inequalities. So this A, and we divide total systems A, B, C, and some other places, some other systems, and so that there are no intersections, no overlaps between them. Then these two inequality holds, and this sort of concavity, a second derivative, some sort of second derivative entropy is negative. This formula tells us its entropy looks like concave. So this can be very easily shown from this holographic geometric approach. So this A, B, C is like this, and we consider it's A plus B means this part in dual to this surface, this minimal surface, and B plus C is this surface. And we can combine this way. We can call this some surface. It looks a bit complicated, but we can take this surface. But if we consider this A plus B plus C, there are another surface which minimizes the area. This is clearly non-minimal area. So this minimal surface and B should have another minimal surface. And this inequality is clear. And the opposite one comes from the other joining procedure.
Sorry, I have a question. Yeah? So the Rényi entropy also satisfied this or omega
from omega? Sorry, could you say Rényi entropy?
The Rényi entropy satisfied this
I had there something analog to that. Something analog to that.
Analog, so it doesn't directly satisfy.
I'm not sure, but anyway, sorry. But the Rényi entropy, I don't know how to compute its holography, so there are no comparison so far.
I think the von Neumann entropy is the unique one that is characterized by some relativity.
I see.
I'm very the usual proof of subadditivity of Liebe and Ruskai is complicated and uses complicated deep inequality on convexity.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. You just do simple things.
Yeah. So this is. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Because we relate everything very complicated algebraic thing into geometric sense. Then essence is very simple. That's what the holography
tells us. Yeah.
I should say special case because we are considering particular quantum field theory which is dual to this ADS space. So. For particular class of quantum many body system, we could very easily show this kind of inequality.
So this has a general proof for.
Yeah. This is any
so what's
any
this
quantum.
Characteristic property of the special system.
So this is ADS safety. So it's a large and gauge theory, and this is a strong. Large and gauge theory. So. I got to count the recent development run by Hayden, who is a quantum information people, and Matt Hedrick and Alex Maroney, who are string theorists. And recently, the holographic entanglement entropy is shown to have a very special quantity, which is called the property, which is called monogamy. So this is somehow terminology in quantum information. And this is summarized as a very, very simple inequality. In terms of this IAB is a mutual information, and somehow this roughly speaking, I'm not completely familiar with, but this roughly speaking, if A and B is rarely entangled, then C is isolated. They not can be connected to A and so on. So this somehow tells some deep thing. But this formula is again very easy to show from this very diagrammatic picture. So clearly this surface, total surface is larger than this one. So and also I think it's interesting. So holographic entanglement. Also this is related to the question I just asked. This should be true for any large gauge theory. Of course, we expect some. If you are familiar with ADS CFT, we have large n, but also large for Hooke coupling limit for classical geometry. But I think the higher derivative correlation not completely worked out, but later mentioned. But it's not completely worked out, but follow this kind of similar property or minimum of some. Functional. So I think this is true for, this means that this is true for any large gauge theory. You're right. But I hope so. But there's no example is that, like that. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Otherwise, this becomes very complicated. So also, so this property is not always true for quantum field theory. This means that this characterizes
holography at the Dirichlet limit. So this is very special, and this we have this special properties.
What are examples where that's not true?
In free field theory, for example, free scalar field. They show that this actually okay. So it should be somehow non trivial.
Free scalar in the vacuum or something.
Yeah, exactly. So also application to condensed matter physics. Maybe this is interesting because this combination is exactly the same as topological entanglement entropy. This says that topological entanglement entropy treated in this holographic setup is always positive or zero. And in the simplest case, for example, confining gauge theory, we can compute this kind of topological entanglement entropy ADS CFT. It stands at zero actually, which is rather trivial, but in general it should be non-negative.
So you say this is not true for free field.
Not true, no.
But it's true for holographic.
Right.
Which means the future has no holographic
view. It depends on how we define holography. So, I mean, just, okay, so this to show this, we need this kind of factor. This is some minimum of something. But if we include quantum correction to holographic setup, which is 1 over n correction, then we don't no longer that is, have a, such a simple relation. We should pass integral over many quantum things.
So if we just use the area formula,
yes,
the entangle, saturate this equality or?
Area, yeah, I think so. If we just take area,
a holographic area, go back one more slide.
Yeah, because this kind of combination cancels all divergences. So yeah. I think you're right. Yeah, exactly. This area of time.
So it's the subleading terms in that.
Exactly. Yeah. And finite, always finite. Yeah.
And just to be clear, when you say that these folks show the holographic entropy always satisfies this, this is using the area of the surface based on, or this is including, you know, Wald entropy corrections.
Including Wald entropy corrections. But I will come up. But there are no known expression. I mean, complete Wald entropy for this case. In particular case, like Gauss Bonin gravity, we know expression formula.
And it satisfies.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, also recently this property, also this positive property is shown for time dependent example, some numerical calculation by this.
Another question? Yeah. About the free field case. So the violation comes from the massless limit, is that?
Yeah, I think. I think for massless limit. But sorry, I didn't completely remember that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this is closely related to the question I asked. And so this area formula of entanglement entropy, holographic entanglement entropy, is assuming what we call supergravity approximation, which means in dual theory it's strongly coupled and also larger limit. But we can somehow get rid of this condition, and there are some recent progress about these directions. And so that means holographic formula is modified by this higher curvature correction. This take into account. This get rid of this limit. But still radiant. So this the nice development has been made by this Han and Maya and Smolkin, the perimeter group, and Jan de Boer and the collaborators group. And so this even though there are no general result for general higher derivative correction, but if we look at particular nice class of gravity called Lavrov gravity, which is some generalization of Gauss-Bonnet graph. The Gauss-Bonnet gravity is Einstein-Hilbert action, cosmological constant, and some Gauss-Bonnet term, which is, looks like Euler characteristic in four dimensions. So for this kind of simple gravity, so we can find expression formula, and it turns out to be this way. So minimum of something again, and this is the area part. One is the area part, but also higher curvature corrections, which is proportional lambda, which is also proportional. So, but for general case, we don't know the answer. That is a very interesting future problem, but maybe technical problem, but it's still not completely worked out, as far as I know. Okay, so I have also a few comments. That in the presence of black hole horizon, the minimal surfaces typically lap the horizon. So if it's static black hole, this is a boundary of ADS, now it's compactified, and it's constant some as minimal area surface, they tend to wrap the horizon because this size is very big. So in that case, this contribution just reduces Bekenstein-Fokin entropy, black hole entropy, and this is consistent. In area safety, we know that the thermal entropy just interpreted as a black hole entropy. This is consistent with, you know. So, but also you notice that there are two different trajectory or this line of curve. So these are somehow equivalent. So subsystem for subsystem A, SA should correspond to this surface, and SB corresponds to the opposite one, and they have some difference just by this black hole, existence black hole. So this is consistent with the well-known fact that if the total density matrix is not a sphere state like this, this thermal state, it's SA is different from SB.
Question?
Yes.
Is it always clear which one is which? Is it always clear which one is which?
Yeah. So which this is comes from topological condition I mentioned. A is homologous to this surface.
So it has to be continuously.
Right.
So
is it volume?
At
fire temperature, entanglement entropy should scale
with
volume, not
with
area.
Yeah, it's volume. Yeah, because this is
volume. So, but if I shrink the area of A, then the gamma B will, I would expect finally the gamma B becomes just the.
Yeah, so you're right. So if you shrink, it's small tip plus this one.
Yeah, so it's become disconnected.
Yeah, it's disconnected. Yes.
So how tightly do these wrap the horizon? I mean, is the difference in lengths between these two curves exactly the horizon area for all black holes?
Because we have some correction because it's non-trivial curve, so not exactly related to black hole entropy.
So when you say that this SA not equal to SB is consistent with the state being pure, we know how impure the state is. We know what the total unlimited entropy of the whole state is. Should that give us some relationship between these quantities, or is that?
Sorry, I completely not completely understood. But
let me ask you a question. So SA is given by gamma A, and SB is given by gamma B.
Yeah.
Now the whole state is corresponding to a pure state, it's an impure state. So you started off talking about an entanglement entropy. I'm not actually sure how you define that in a state which is not pure, but there must be some definition of it.
This is non-pure case. This is non-pure case.
Right.
Clearly, total
so, so if I want to calculate the entanglement entropy of A and B in this non-pure case, what do? I combine the links of the curves in some way?
The entanglement entropy just definition is very simple. Just take whole normal entropy of the reduced density matrix. But this is, so you're wondering, it's not that true entanglement. That's what worry. That is true. There are another quantities, I think, squashed entanglement or some many other quantities, which is not directly related. Yeah, I see. Yeah, maybe there are some way to define real entanglement between in non pure case.
Okay, yeah, but it is true that if I take the limit where the size of region A goes to zero,
then difference becomes just black hole entropy.
It becomes exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I think so.
I guess I have to somehow remove the divergence.
Yeah, but it's cancelled out. SB minus SA. If we compute SB and minus SA, it's completely cancels the divergence.
SA minus SB.
Yeah, that is big.
That becomes exactly the one.
Yeah, okay.
In the limit where the size of one region stretches it.
That's
it.
So this is a minimal area, but it's Lorentzian geometry. There are no minimal area surface. So we have to replace minimal surface with extremal surface, which is a saddle point of area function.
What is this?
Same one. We assume this A is the same as this.
The curves of the horizons are not allowed to go past the event horizon?
No. Just only geometrically. Yes.
The thing that gives instructions to the forming surfaces around the black hole?
Singularity. Yeah. Usually, this doesn't fit the singularity, so we don't have to worry about it.
Sorry,
yeah, singularity is here, but
in time dependent,
the singularity not plays a role for this case. It's just geometrically, this is a topological equivalent. Homologous.
But they're all homologous. And John's point is that in time dependent case, these are co-dimension two surfaces.
Right.
So there's, you could move them all around.
Yeah, exactly. That actually plays a very important role later.
And gamma A and gamma B are both.
It's the same. In that case, because the total space is pure, Because black hole is suddenly created. If we go to past, it is a pure state.
Sorry. If you have a black hole which is created dynamically and collapse, at late times, the geometry looks very much like this.
Yeah, right. But still, we have to worry about this topological condition. And it allows us to going back towards the past.
So at late times, if I play this game and construct these minimal surfaces, I still find two such surfaces, right?
Yeah, but if these two guys are topologically equivalent, we have to choose minimal area one. So in that case, even this is true, we should choose gamma n. So the total entropy is zero in that case. Yeah, that's actually I'm right. Yeah. So this time I come back to time. So I just explained so express calculation of the holographic entanglement. This static case, the simplest case is two case. This is infinite strip with some weirdest length is L, and large L means infinite length, and also some circular disk, some ball which radius is L, small L. And have fine expressed minimal area. So the result looks like this for any dimension. So they are both infinite strip. In this case, we have very simple, we have only two terms. One is the area of divergence, another one is some constant interesting term. And this term is does not depend on UV cutoff. And if we restrict D equal 1 limit, they are combined into logarithmic term, which just reproduces a well known formula of C divided by 3 and logarithmic agree with two dimensions. And if we interest a higher dimension, so we can look at the most important example in string theory, which is n equal 4, super unusual ages 5 crosses 5. In that case, CFT predicts this kind of result, and functional form also agree with this ADS calculation, but coefficient is different. But this is not protected by any supersymmetry. So this corresponds to free CFT calculation, but this is strongly coupled CFT. This deviation is not so strange. So this deviation. But this good thing is that these two functional forms agree with each other. So the more interesting case is the circular disk. So if we just cut it out, radius L circle from the total space, and then we have many, many terms because we have a curvature, so pick up each curvature. So leading divergence is area of divergence and some sub-leading divergence and depends on the dimension. So D is actually space dimension. If space dimension is even, then it ends up with some constant. And if space dimension is hot, like 3 or 1, we have logarithmic thing. So D equal 1 case, this is a well-known correction, the entanglement, logarithmic term of entanglement entropy. Also, this is true for four-dimensional conformal field theory. And this is logarithmic, so this coefficient should be proportional to the central charge. And if we pick up literally round circle, round sphere, then this Q turns out to be central charge called A, minus 4 times A. A is one of the central charge of four-dimensional conformal field theory, and 2D case I already mentioned this. And a more interesting thing may be this constant. And this constant appears in ED dimension, so two-dimensional physics or four-dimensional thing. And if we have some mass gap situation, this is sort of topological entanglement entropy. So this is interesting.
What is the sign of PD in general dimension?
Sorry, sign?
What is the sign? Is it always positive or negative? This?
I think probably negative.
And on general PD?
I think that's related to that previous monogamy thing.
No. We have calculated explicitly, in for example, in free theories, it actually depends on exactly what kind of boundary conditions, for example, you choose along your compact circles in your maybe for this geometry it's negative, but
this is free field theory, not for
running. This is leading in G string, right? So I mean, there could be other corrections. This is leading, the leading term.
Leading.
There are other corrections.
Leading in.
This conformal field theory, I'm looking conformal field theory. Yeah. But if we somehow deform this mass gap theory, this is something people call topological. That's all. Okay.
Is K prime
okay for the 3/4? This one? K prime, it's not easy to compare because it's cut off down. That's right, yeah. But recently there are developments of this term, and mainly done by Myers and collaborators group. And for example, so if this is an odd-dimensional conformal field theory. So first of all, if we choose this really literally round sphere, it's really subsystem is really like this way, the symmetric sphere, then this entanglement entropy comes of this partition function on this sphere. And so this is only but true for this round ball case. And also in this setup, in the, this is now, this is a quantum field theory, but this is ADS CFT. By using ADS CFT, and these people show that the holography tells us that this finite part of SA, which means this part, exactly this part, is monotonically decreasing function under RG flow. So this is some sort of generalization of C theorem to odd dimension. So to define C, we need even dimensional conformal field theory or quantum field theory because we have anomaly. But in odd dimensional quantum field theory, there are no anomaly, but still we can get some sort of holographic C theorem.
I'm sorry, I'm slightly confused to what Myers and Sinha actually did. They proved that using the gravity, your gravity formula, that the finite part.
Yeah. No. I should say it's independent. They have another way to compute entanglement entropy by directly looking at some conformal map between this kind of flat space with this spherical subsystem and conformal map to some spherical system. So as I mentioned, so they prove that this proposal of this area law formula is true, particular in this round ball case. It can be just derived from bulk boundary relation in ADS CFT, and they're using that and show that it is decreasing under RG flow. So sorry, this is a bit complicated. So I think, yeah.
Sorry, so this last thing
is only for holographic theories. Only for holographic theory. With some sort of higher derivative, they are considering some sort of higher derivative. But of course, no result for quantum fields. Okay, so also I'd like to comment on the time-dependent background. So this is summarization. So we in ADS CFT, black hole formation, like this is a very simple picture. There's, if you have pure ADS and it's suddenly excited and black hole generated, this kind of process is understood as some summarization of dual conformal field theory. And if, for example, if we start with just pure ADS, this means that starting point is pure state. Total density matrix is pure. So we have this also unitary evolution in quantum field theory. So the total entropy should be always vanishing. So that even though if we have some bound, this kind of horizon at late time, this looks a bit at first a bit puzzling and related to this Adon's question. And so actually the answer is very simple. If you look at entanglement entropy, and then we can rigorously define total entropy, the summary entropy, by difference between two entanglement entropy. And A is actually now covers almost total space, and B is very tiny space, and takes B goes to zero. This difference cancels the divergence, and it's a sort of a total entropy, the standard summary entropy. And if we compute this for these two A and B, actually, because of this geometry, for eternal black hole, static black hole is extended infinitely. So these two trajectories are different. But now it's shrinking at some point. We can continuously connect it to gamma A to gamma A. So we have to always pick up minimal area. So we eventually find only one surface for A and B. So in this way, we can show this is total entropy zero. But also, entanglement entropy is still important that because it picks up non-vanishing part of this some effective gravity, effective entropy, which means as coarse-grained entropy. So we trace out some part of that, so we have some non-vanishing, non-trivial entropy. So this is very important. Otherwise, like here, if we take total space, it becomes just zero entropy. It's not interesting. But if we trace out some, especially trace out some part, then we get some entropy. This is some example of coarse-grained entropy and should be useful to understand some non-equilibrium physics. So there are also different developments of this time evolutions. And so there is a well-known fact found by Calabrese Cardi in 2005, which is a 1 plus 1 dimensional conformal field theory, which we can analyze in using infinite dimensional Virasoro algebra. And this is particularly happens when people consider process called quantum quench. Quantum quench is some very simple process that suddenly some parameter changes the value. So mass parameter suddenly plus something to just zero, then we get some conformal field theory, but it's excited state. This kind of quantum quench is very interesting and simple to treat in theoretically. So this Cardi collaborator shows that. So the if we assume this subsystem A is really smaller, then and if we plot entanglement entropy for this region, so at this quantum quake, it increases. This entropy increases, and it increases linearly, and it eventually saturates with this summary entropy. And this time, this summarization time, is now, and these people argue that it's estimated by this total length divided by 2. This is rather consistent with relativistic causality. So information from these two ends coming this way, and if we propagate this time, then it matches. So it takes this time until total system is excited or summary equilibrium. And indeed, the holographic calculation, even though I don't write explicitly, this is really numerical calculation. This Lopez and the other group and showed that exactly the same behavior in holographic case by using so-called Bayda metric, time-dependent black hole, and showed numerically this is true. Also, more interesting thing, so in quantum field theory, we can only discuss 1 plus 1 dimension by using this symmetry argument, because of symmetry and so on. But to go beyond higher dimension, it's not that easy, especially for strongly coupled system. But holography tells us that so these people, Albers and Johnson, and Balasubramanian and collaborator, do some numerical works to reproduce this kind of graph, and they find that it's the result in higher dimension depends on the choice of subsystem. So subsystem, this, 1 plus 1 dimension is just simple interval, but in higher dimension, we can choose strip or this kind of this. And if we choose strip, they find this the summarization part much larger. Because this is actually not that strange. I mean, if we have strip, some information coming sometimes go this way. So this is larger than this length there. So this time, and this is somehow intuitive understood. And for, but if we choose round this, it's literally an estimated delta is agree with this kind of causality argument, because this is a compact space. Okay, so now, so these are overview of holographic entanglement entropy. I would like to, using rest of time, I'd like to quickly introduce my recent works. First one is about this related to Fermi surface. So this is a work with our postdoc Ogawa and my student Ogajin, and paper will appear soon. So we'd like to, so Fermi surface is of course very interesting quantity and one of the main subject of, I think, this workshop is non-Fermi liquid and so on. So I hope this entanglement entropy is also useful to this analysis. And then it is well known that if we have some fermions, especially shown for fermion theories, there is some logarithmically violation of entanglement entropy. So L is the size of this subsystem A, and number of, so this is a lattice system, so number of sides included, linear size of this included A, and so L and my dimension called D plus 1, so D minus 1 and log L. So there are comments that this property can be understood, at least for if we have a definite Fermi surface and we have some then on a free Fermi theory, so we have we can approximate this Fermi excitation around the Fermi surface, so especially radial excitation as a some two-dimensional quantum field theory. This radial mode is two dimensional, so we have some logarithmic, already have logarithmic entanglement entropy, and sum over this transverse direction, we get this formula. But of course, we are interested in ADS CFT, so this is non-trivial because we have to look at strongly interacting systems. But there are several suggestions that this is property should also be true for non-Fermi liquids, especially the swingles, and also global and collaborators calculation of spin liquids suggests this is true for this logarithmic property, also true for non-Fermi liquids. So this is our assumption, actually. So, but we have to note that in this, in usual, this condensed matter calculation, so this is a lattice size and this lattice calculation, assuming that the cutoff scale, lattice spacing inverse, is say, almost the same order as the Fermi level, Fermi velocity. But instead, in our holographic context, we would like to use ADS CFT. We would like to embed everything in asymptotically ADS space time. So this cutoff scale is much higher than Fermi level. So this is my assumption, the case where I'm interested in. No, I mean still free Fermi, but that means not completely asymptotically I mean, even free fermion, I should say, even if we have free fermion, we have some finite chemical potential. If we go beyond higher energy, then it's just fermion without fermion status. So in that sense, we should have area law. Yeah, that's what.
Wait, so
what's
the statement? So you're saying
the free fermions,
one of the
lattice,
but don't have a log?
No. There is a log, but I explained. But I mean, this should be, this Fermi level should be distinguished from the real UV cutoff scale.
You can see
yourself. Right.
So
that is one. So in this case, so we are interested in this case. So there, we have entanglement entropy. It's some standard divergence path, which is the area of divergence. But this logarithmic term appears here, some constant term. But it's, if Kf is very large, it's still very large quantity. So we can, for free fermion case, we can confirm in some expression calculations. So below, what we'd like to see is that if we can realize this kind of, this is assuming this behavior's input, and assuming this behavior, and we'd like to see if we can reproduce this kind of behavior in holographic setup. So this means that, so holographic entanglement entropy, I mean just area law, previous minimal area law, that is actually very strong. I also, again, mentioned, but it's very strong, but that means we are assuming all physical quantity can be calculable in the tree level, classical gravity limit, which means that also in Fermi surface language, I think order n square Fermi surfaces, which is not usual, I think, recent discussion of holographic Fermi surface. But this is, otherwise, you know, we cannot this area law formula.
Yeah. Why can't there be one very large Fermi surface?
Yeah.
It's because why can't there be one very large Fermi surface?
Yeah, that's possible, but then, I mean, entanglement entropy, we need to take into account quantum corrections. This area law formula is not true.
I don't know what's behind the horizon, and it might be.
But then, okay, so in ADS2 kind of thing, you. Yeah, then, but anyway, so we cannot reproduce, I think, log term in that case. Yeah, but just my input is that just assuming this area law formula, minimal area law formula, and the input this behavior, then what do you have?
Assuming within parentheses there. Okay. We don't like
looking at parentheses. This one? For what?
Why is that?
So because I think I'm assuming Kf is order 1. Kf order 1, then, I mean, and if we have really back reaction from Fermi surface, then I think we need n square Fermi surface. Of course, yeah, maybe, so, the, yeah, so other case, maybe you can scale, I think electron star case, I think you scale Kf is also larger as we go larger and bigger.
It could be that the fermions have charge n at this point. I mean, the composite operators with a very large charge.
Mm.
And Kf could be order 1, but the charge that they carry could be order n squared.
Sorry, order n squared. But anyways, in other words, my assumption is just using this minimal area formula and input this.
If you have some gauge theory with the matrix theory, order n squared, colored fermions, if you have a colored Fermi surface, then you have trivially n squared Fermi surface.
I'm not saying it can happen, I'm just saying I don't think that it's if and only if you're.
So you want to use the theory. Okay, yeah, let's be, you could please discuss it. But anyway, so this is not, I'm not using this. Okay, so the programming calculation, so I think running time, so I just quickly. But the process is very, standard, just compute this area. And we assume this metric, this FZ and ZZ, and this some XY directions, and I assume the ADS, and we compute the entanglement entropy, and we find to reproduce logarithmic behavior ZZ, this function should be proportional to Z square in the infrared. This is of course one as a UB, but this is required to have this logarithmic behavior. This is a bit unusual case, I should say. But now I impose Naray-Naray condition so that we have sensible holographic dual background. This is somehow well known condition. Otherwise we have ghost and so on. So we input this G function ZZ, which is a coefficient of Z, DZ square, and then this constraint, time component of metric, FZ. And if we assume this some nice scaling factor, then scaling factor, and this m is constant this way. So by using this time component, assuming some regular horizon, we can actually fix the behavior of specific heat and the dependence of temperature. So C should be specific proportional temperature to some power. And this condition exactly implies this alpha should be smaller than 2/3. So this somehow excludes standard Fermi decay, which is linear specific heat. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the behavior in infrared,
yeah.
The z-squared
transition. Yeah, but that's a special way, this AGS focus. At higher dimension, it's not true, but yeah, in this case, that is true. So this looks unusual, very precious. But somehow, in principle, we can embed this into effective field theory. So like this, so this is some general kinetic term of gauge fields, and some dilaton and potential, and if we assume this kind of special property of this potential and kinetic term gauge field, then somehow we can realize for p greater than 2, we can realize this kind of behavior. This is the exact solution.
Is this the same behavior that Mooch produced?
Yeah.
Is this the same critical behavior of potential that
I'm not sure, but I haven't seen this. It's unusual. This approach is flat. You know, cosmological constant initially start negative, but its approach is zero. So probably not that usual. So I'm wondering this holograph, embedding in string theory, but I could not find it. So yeah. So maybe mentioned. By audience. So this our definition is very strong that this does not include, unfortunately, this does not include some other famous geometry like emergent AGS geometry and MIT group, and also the Schoen's electron star solution and so on. And also more generally, if we choose general dependence of GZ, then we have some this kind of very some power behavior of this power violation of area law somehow. It might be also interesting. Okay, so yeah. Okay, so now I don't have enough time, but I just quickly go to the final subject. But are there any questions?
There's a singularity if C goes to infinity.
So C goes to
Z.
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 Zero temperature, yeah, that is, yeah. But it can be resolved by putting black holes. We can find this black hole solution. Also. Yeah.
You know
what that was? Yeah, yeah. It can be, yeah. We can find it. Exactly.
Exactly?
Yeah. So this system, by fine, to be honest, this is fine tuning this W and phi, and you can realize any metric. By fine tuning this W and B, you can realize any metric somehow. Yeah, any metric. Well, I mean, F and Z. So to be honest, this not consistent check. But if we can embed this in string theory, that would be consistent check. Yeah, okay, so let me finally just go to this final issue. So this is basically about the application of this entanglement entropy so to some boundary compound field theory. And to find boundary compound field theory, we should consider some its holographic dual, how construction of holographic dual. And this is what I'm working this half year. And this kind of idea for embedding holography into some manifold with boundary or defect and so on already studied, I think, this Andreas and Corbett Randall work, and also this cross-related this Janus, so-called Janus background, but I don't have time to explain this. So, but basic idea is just that we have some boundary CFD, and that means we have a manifold with boundary, and we'd like to have holographic dual of this. Then, so naturally, you can imagine that we just cut it out some part of this space. This is what we do, but we have to specify how to cut off this space. So the idea which we worked out is with Fujita and Tony, and it's, we have Einstein equation, and we should have sensible variational principle, which means that we have this given the Hawking term, which is the standard rate toric boundary, and we have some localized matter on this some new boundary called Q. So I should say that. So here we assume that holographic construction of some CFT on manifold with boundary is some sort of asymptotical area spacetime with some additional boundary, so-called Q, which I call Q. We cut it out, area space, by some surface Q. And the boundary condition on Q is naturally derived from this variational principle. And there are two choices, Dirichlet boundary condition and Neumann boundary condition. If we choose Dirichlet condition, this is the same as standard ADS CFT, and that's not good because we don't want to put any metric here. This is some internal direction, and only physics appears here for dual theory. So we don't want to put any Dirichlet boundary condition. So we choose, naturally choose Neumann boundary condition, which is summarized simply this way. This is the extreme curvature on this manifold, and this is the induced metric, and some energy space sensor localized on this manifold Q. And this, and so if we assume conformal invariance, boundary conformal invariance, we have some simple simplification of this boundary matter, which is proportional to induced metric, and its coefficient turns out to be the tension of this manifold Q. So simplest example is obtained just part of area space. This is a Poincaré ADS, and we cut it in a line. We just restrict to this region, and this rho star parameterizes this angle. So if rho star is minus infinity, it's here, but we gradually increase the space, and rho star here, and rho star goes to infinity means it covers everything. So, and tension is determined by this relation. So now the quantity I'm interested in is so-called boundary entropy, and introduced by Affleck and Ludwig. And so this boundary entropy is measured as a degree of freedom at the boundary. And it's sort of C function of the bulk CFT. And there's a very nice theorem called G theorem. So this boundary entropy monotonically decreases under the RG flow in conformal field set. So first thing to do is to confirm this fact in holographic setup. So there are several definitions of boundary entropy. Simplest one is this log of disk amplitude. Disk amplitude with some alpha, but the alpha is boundary state, but alpha is a boundary condition, and take log of that. So this defines one quantity for each boundary condition. This is called boundary entropy. And also that appears in a cylinder amplitude for large length limit. It's factorized this way, this disk amplitude. And also, finally, this also appears in entanglement entropy. That's the reason I mentioned here this issue. So this entanglement entropy is, in two-dimensional CFT, we have this logarithmic term. As we know, we have some constant part. So this constant part actually includes this boundary contribution, and this is identified with boundary entropy. This is done in Calabrese Kirby. Set up is like this. So this time and this spacing, we have only half line, and we subsystem A is take this region, and B is other region. And then we have boundary here, so we have this boundary entropy contribution. So we can compute in our setup, for example, this case. This one, we can simply estimate this extra contribution, which is really proportional to the rho star. This is a boundary entropy. And also, we can look at other definitions of disk amplitude or cylinder amplitude, and we get the same result. So disk amplitude, we get this factor here, rho star, and also we get the cylinder contribution. So these are holographic dual of disk. ADS space is x in this direction. We cut it out as a part, and we restrict everything here. This is a holographic dual of disk and holographic dual of cylinder. And if we have a finite temperature, we have some black hole, and then it ends up with somewhere. So now I come to the more general case, which means a massive case, massive boundary perturbation, and we'd like to show G theorem in holographic way. So we have this kind of Poincaré metric, and we pick up this surface Q by parameterizing function x equal xd. And then we impose null energy condition at the boundaries. Now we impose this condition for boundary matter. Then what we have, so in the end we get this condition. So in the end this means that x second derivative of x is negative. So this is actually equivalent to the D7. So if we can naturally define this holographic G function this way. So this kind of arc sine hyperbolic is come from just a relation of G function and this geometrical function at the critical point. In ADS, for just real boundary cohomology theory, we can exist relation, and we read off that dependence for any this kind of massive deformation for this case in general.
I'm sorry, what is the, I missed the point in the last slide, what is x?
X is, okay, so x is like here. So this is x direction. Sorry, I didn't.
Oh.
X direction, and we have, so this boundary is parameterized by some function of x and z direction. Z is this direction.
Oh, I see. So you have a real boundary within the
like, real boundary, yes. Yeah. So, okay. Just quick.
So this is a condition on the shape.
Like, exactly. This curvature, yeah, this angle. This says that this angle is decreasing under RG flow. Angle is roughly proportional to the boundary and the degree of freedom. It should decrease. That's what this energy condition tells us.
So the curve looks like this?
Looks like this way, yeah, this way. Not this way.
The only thing I think about what's happening here is just the ordinary holographic C theorem or the holographic dual of the boundary decreasing theorem.
But I'm not changing C here.
You're changing
only
the boundary. Stuff on this QD boundary is really just the gravity dual of the stuff at the boundary under CFT. And so, to what extent is this saying more than just the usual holographic C theorem for that stuff?
But the holographic C theorem assumes some definition of C, which is sometimes 1 point function, or some 2 point function. It's not the same.
It's different.
Yeah, because we have additional parameter. This is the angle of this direction. So we are looking at this angle.
But the angle is how determined this. By that
equation. So we are solving a different equation. You're not solving Einstein's equation. You're solving this equation that the extrinsic curvature is equal to the stress tensor. That's you're solving a different second order. It's same in spirit, but it's different. But it's a different quantity, right? Exactly. It's a different theorem, but it still works if you change R to K, you still get a theorem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm keeping C. Yes, it's part of ADS space time, keeping C. So this quantity, rho star D, so D dependent, this depends on R direction, is now turns out this energy constant says that this is monotonically decreasing function. So this is actually our holographic G-theorem. Right? So this is so this derivative of this, it turns out to be this, and this part turns out to be negative. Because its derivative is negative, and its starting point is this is zero, so it's always negative. This is negative. And this quantity can be defined for any D dimension. So I'm not sure how to define this quantity in quantum field theory side, but in holographic language, you have this kind of G-theorem for any dimension. But this we will standard G-theorem in D quantity. Okay, so I just look at so the most interesting example maybe ADS4 BCF, so boundary conformation is 3-dimension. So there we have a bit complicated, but the interesting thing happened for this term. This logarithmically term, logarithmical depend on radius direction. This is an anomalous dimension, anomalous term. But this is a 3-dimensional quantum field theory. There are no anomaly, but still we have some anomalous term. So what does this mean? This is the interesting point, and depend on the boundary condition. And but if we remember that this formulation, we have 3-dimensional bar, but we have a 2-dimensional boundary. So this 2-dimensional part actually contributes to this anomaly. This formula tells us that. So we can somehow effectively define some bounds of some boundary central charge. It's some derivative of this partition function and related to trace anomaly on this boundary surface. And we can effectively read off this boundary central charge. And it's again functions rho star. And our holographic G theorem tells us this also boundary, something I call this boundary central charge, also monotonically decreasing function. So so far there are no results from quantum field theory. So I think it is interesting to consider this kind of property from the viewpoint of quantum 3-dimensional quantum field theory with bound. Okay, so these are my talk. I just summarize conclusions. So this is a rather general statement, but this entanglement entropy useful bridge between gravity theory and condensed matter physics, where we have this kind of wave function in condensed matter physics, but gravity is a metric. But from this wave function, we can read off entanglement entropy. And this is also related to geometrical quantity, so it just goes back to gravity. And we have discuss some film surface and also boundary central charge in the case of holographic theory of boundary safety, and I just listed some future problems. So of course we want some proof, express proof of holographic entanglement entropy and some corrections. And the interesting thing is that what does Einstein equation mean for this entanglement entropy? It is sort of loop equation for Wilson loops. What does equation mean? And also there are another application, superconductors or some topological initiator of this idea of holographic theory. Thank you very much.
Okay, we have a few more questions.
You mentioned that your definition of classical gravity was quite restrictive. So what exactly is the definition?
I mean, everything can be computable in general relativity approximation, supergravity.
Why is
the specific heat also true, and entanglement entropy also true, not only.
Okay, this does not apply to the constructions of the other
things
that you mentioned.
Yeah, so for the electron staircase, it's, right, it comes from one collection in this language, in this specific. That's really this, I have to do. But otherwise, we don't have a holographic formula of entropy, so I cannot say anything.
You showed this boundary CFT in three dimensions. What was the content of CFT there at the boundary? Where is what is a CFT?
My concept is very general. So applies to any holographic dual effect. So for example, you can consider some ADJM theory, which may be some samples.
So the G theorem you show is only for three plus
one? This holographic G theorem is any
dimension.
But also the idea.
Yeah, another place the boundary entropy appears is when you glue CFTs together on their boundary and quench them like that. I was just wondering if you had studied.
So you take two systems.
Two CFTs with boundary entropy.
But that is somehow detected, I think. Detected CFTs, those physics. But in principle, you can do similar calculations for this case. You have two different theory and you have this defect, and we can compute this boundary, we can define this boundary entropy. And I think we again have this Z theorem and so on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other question? No, let's thank the speaker again.